Flacco. Here comes the pressure. Pump fake, pump fake. He will be sacked by Gerald McCoy.
This is Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy.
Buccaneers have come out with it. McCoy strips the ball away.
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
A quarterback sacked by G-Mac.
Now your host, TJ Reeves.
All right, hello there. Welcome in. It is our latest installment of Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. It is Wednesday night, so that means we get to spend it with number 93, Gerald McCoy. And it is good to see you, my friend. I have not had the chance to speak to you since this weekend's game with the Falcons. First of all, welcome. How did Thanksgiving go? Because we talked a little bit about that on last week's show. Thanksgiving Day and Thanksgiving weekend prior to the game with Atlanta. Everything go well?
Yeah, Thanksgiving was great, actually. Just sat with the family, watched a little sports, played a few games, hung out.
Did you get it was chicken, right? It was not going to be turkey. Do a little chicken?
No.
No ham?
Ham, yes.
Okay, ham, yes. No chicken, though. You were lobbying for chicken last week.
I know.
Did not come through.
Yeah. Well, we had chicken. It just wasn't the kind I wanted.
I understand. Okay. Yeah. Well, I would have thought that would have been taken care of. All right. So the thing I always like to begin these shows with, because now we're midweek, practice and preparation. How did things go today getting back on the practice field and getting ready for the Denver Broncos?
It was fun. Let me just put it like that. It was fun. This guy we about to face is a very dynamic player. And it was fun, you know, getting the first day of installation and getting to prepare for him.
I know you talked to the local media earlier in the day along those lines about playing against Peyton Manning, who you're talking about here. Let's go ahead and just kind of pick up on that point. What's it like to be watching game tape of the Denver Broncos? First, it's weird to even say that and see Peyton Manning throwing passes and know that you're going to be going against Peyton Manning and that Denver offense this week. What's that been like, film study, et cetera?
Yeah, it's great. Actually, for me, you know, as I told the media earlier, how people take this is how they take it. I really don't care, but it's a dream come true for me because you grow up and you watch these guys play. And, you know, you see him and you want to get to their level, but you never think about actually getting to play against those guys. Well, Peyton Manning, as good as he is, has stayed around this league for a long time, and I have opportunity to, you know, face him. So that's great. And I'm looking forward to it. And, let me clear something up,
please.
excuse me. Just because, you know, you are a fan of somebody or you're excited to play against somebody doesn't mean you can't ferociously try and kill this person.
I like that quote.
Legally.
Legally.
Yes.
Okay, good. You know, it's interesting that you bring this up because there's been some debate that the Broncos played the Chiefs last week, and after the game and after everything was over, Jamal Charles, running back for the Chiefs, went and got Peyton Manning's autograph. And
so what?
And some are looking at that as, oh, how can you go and do that? From my
Those
standpoint,
same people saying that would ask for his autograph.
Well, and from my standpoint, I think that it's neat for me to see that. Just from this standpoint, that there is a young player, Jamal Charles, who you went against him in college, been in the league what, 3 years, 4 years? Five now? So he has great respect and wants, you know, after the game is over with, long after the game is over with, wants a chance to get something from Peyton Manning, whether it's a handshake or an autograph or a picture. Again, that's been a big topic. You just said it. So what, huh, as far as you're concerned?
Exactly. So what? I mean, like, it's a crime to ask for a legend's autograph? Like, what's wrong with that? All because I play in the same league as him, I can't ask for his autograph? I guess, but I'm not even going to get into that.
I got you.
I don't see no problem with it.
All right, so we'll get more into the Broncos as the show goes along. By the way, you can join us at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Toll free, wherever you can hear the show. Last week it was impressive. Because I think last week, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, they all run together where we had Mexico City, Mexico, and then we had Utica, New York, and then we had Utah. So that was all, and that was last week's show, right?
Last week, yeah.
This is a new week.
It's a new week.
See who's out there.
We'll see what happens.
All right. So again, toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. For you to join us here on the phones. You can also tweet me a question or a comment if you would like. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, as we go along. In terms of what Denver is doing on offense, does it look – I mean, fans would love to know this. And you watch Bronco games, and it looks like Peyton Manning at the controls of the Colts offense. You know, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker kind of look like Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison used to look, with Peyton Manning throwing the ball. Again, without getting into all the specifics of what they do and what you're going to try to do against it, I mean, what does it look like?
I don't think people understand how good this guy is. What person do you know can – okay, I always said last year, well, in this offseason, Peyton Manning was the LeBron James of football. And the reason I said is because, one, when that person left or didn't play – that team went from one of the top teams in the NBA or NFL to the worst team. And then when this guy decided to go to a different team or went to a different team, he was courted, you know, and there was this big uproar about where is this person, one person going to go. Now free agency comes, everybody's, you know, let's talk about a lot of different people, but not as high as LeBron or Peyton Manning's was. And Peyton Manning, what person you know could go to a team and bring his own playbook and say, we running this? Because that's basically what Denver is doing.
Right.
They're running the exact same offense he's been running since he's been in the NFL. And that's what he knows. And it's taken time this year for him to get back to the form he usually is, but he's there. He definitely is, and he's making those guys look really good. Not to say that they're not, or they were not before he got there, but, you know, when you got a quarterback like that passing to you or putting you in the right spot or in the best play, I mean, it helps. The guy's like a computer. Seriously.
Yeah. It's
like a computer.
It's amazing to have watched him play a couple of different times at field level for the Colts, and we'll get to see him again while you guys are going up against him on Sunday. The interesting thing, speaking of the Colts, is we played the Colts a year ago, Monday Night Football, as you know, and Buck fans that are listening, and Peyton could not play all of last season. And it became a very interesting argument that as much as the Colts struggled without him after being a Super Bowl contending team year after year after year, that Peyton Manning should get some consideration for most valuable player even while not playing, because he meant so much.
He made the
to what they are.
The NFL Network's top 100 players. He was like number 50. He didn't even play.
Last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, oh, he didn't play. He shouldn't have been on there. I could agree with that. However, look at what happened to his team when he didn't play.
They started the year 0-13.
Yeah. Hey.
Goes to a new team, Denver. Granted, a playoff team a year ago, but here they are, as you mentioned, new offense.
But they are a game out of winning their division. Gonna see if we have a little something to say about that, but it's okay.
I like that, too. Again, Gerald McCoy is with us here on this Wednesday night, so you can get your questions and your comments ready as the Bucks get ready to go to Denver to take on the Broncos. And we've been talking a lot about Peyton Manning in specific, but, I mean, they've got more weapons than that. I know they've got an injury to Willis McGahee, and he's been placed on injured reserve, but they've been able to run the ball pretty effectively, too, you know, with a couple of different backs. No Sean Moreno got the carries last week, but they've got Hillman.
Ronnie Hillman.
Yeah, right. And
that
Hillman,
you've seen him on the tape. Yeah, he can. You know, if you don't get your hands on him, he can hurt you. He definitely can. And No Sean, you know, he's been playing well since he's been in the league. You know, he's been plagued by injuries too, but he's been playing well since he's been in the league. So, and then a guy they bring in, Trenton Holiday, you know. We all know about his speed and how he can hurt you. So They have a lot of different weapons they can use.
And they signed Jacob Hester this week. I don't know about his availability. Learn the offense to be active. Hester's the former fullback that played in San Diego, played college ball at LSU. So they need some depth there. But, I mean, it's interesting, not just Peyton Manning throwing it. They've been able to run it some, too, in Denver. So it definitely presents some challenges. All right, we've got much more on the way. We'll take your calls. We'll take your comments as we go along here with Gerald McCoy on this Wednesday night. Buccaneers and the Broncos get set to go Sunday at 4 o'clock. We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock. Pregame coverage here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be back with more of Total Access coming up. Stay with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy on 620 WDAE, the home of the Buccaneers.
Shotgun formation, Matt Ryan. Here's the snap, Ryan looking. Here comes pressure. He's hit! He fumbles the ball. It's recovered by the Buccaneers. Fingers clobbered Matt Ryan and knocked the ball away. Buccaneer football and a quarterback sack. Blitzing corner. Knocked Matt Ryan cuckoo.
And on that play, called there by Gene Deckerhoff from Sunday, number 93, Gerald McCoy came up with the football there in the fourth quarter of that game. Let's talk about that play there for just a second. One of the exciting plays from the game, obviously, on Sunday. EJ's first career sack coming off the corner. And as I just alluded to, you were there, Johnny, on the spot to get on the football at that moment in the game. A very significant play, correct?
Yeah, it was, man. We had to get the ball back in the offense's hands, and we were able to do that. So it was a big play for our team.
You know, a lot of times fans wonder, you know, the ball is loose. There's a couple of you there. Are you going to try to pick it up and run with it? Or are you going to try to, you know, go get six? In that case, I think you were mostly concerned with make sure we get on the ball.
Yeah, a lot of people said, right? You know, oh, we should have picked it up and ran with it. I was more concerned about just getting it back because anything can happen. You can kick the ball around and all, you know. No, I'd just rather jump on it, get it back, to let our offense, the people who are, you know, who get paid to throw and catch, I let them do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Instead of me running, you know, we have a fairly decent running back who can do a little running, so I figured let him do it.
Did you catch any flack at all in the meeting room or from anybody else that you want to admit that you didn't pick it up and try to run with it? Or were they all cool with it? Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything we want to elaborate on or no?
No, I was just, you should have, why didn't you? And, man, if you, whatever. We got the ball back.
That's the number one objective.
Good job, EJ.
How much, fans would love to know this here on Total Access with Gerald McCoy. How much do you guys work on during the week? Fumble recovery, loose ball.
Every day.
Take us through what you do.
Every day. We have a ball disruption, ball security circuit where we practice on fumble recoveries. We practice on securing the ball when we have it. We practice on catching the ball when it's thrown to you and then securing it. Sideline recovery, the ball's about to go out of bounds, making the decision on whether to knock it back in or recover it. I mean, a lot of different things we do. Coach Young does a great job of making sure we're prepared for any situation.
So you're working on sideline recovery every day?
Every day
If the ball is near the sideline bouncing,
yep.
What do you do? Can you throw it back in? Can you get on
you
it
just
before
make you make a decision off? On how close you are to the sideline, whether you should knock it back in or go recover it.
Who's really good on the defensive line besides you? It's a given that you're good at being able to save the ball before it goes out of bounds. Who's got the skills? Because it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, to leap and bat it and get it. Want to give props to anybody besides you? It's a given that you would be good at it. I understand that.
Everybody else.
All right.
Everybody. We all practice it. We all put a lot of work in. So I truly believe everybody's becoming really good at it.
You know, you just picked up on something else that I don't think can be emphasized enough. Mike Williams was in here saying it on Monday night. Ronnie Barber was in here saying it on Tuesday night, that it is amazing to them paraphrasing, how prepared you guys are for any and all situations. Mike's point was we practice that Hail Mary play two or three different times every week, including on Saturday, the exact play
they did
that we ran.
They did. So, I remember when that situation came up, I said, hey, even I know what play they about to run because it's something we practice in our Saturday walkthroughs and a lot of different points in the week. You know, Cosciano definitely has us prepared for any situation.
And that's, you can say whatever you want about detail and attention to detail, but when you have practiced something, it almost becomes second nature, right? What you just said. It almost becomes like, hey, we've done this. We're definitely ready to go.
It definitely does, man. An example of that actually, and is not to go too far back, is the Carolina game. That overtime, and I told the media that week after the game, I said, what's funny is we just went over our overtime procedures earlier this week, and then it came up. And Cosciano, one thing he always says is it won't catch up to you until it catches up to you. And as simple as that. You never know when you're going to need certain situations or certain training, but he prepares us and trains us for any situation.
Again, we will take your phone calls, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS if you're outside the immediate area, 1-800-596-2827. Taylor begins things tonight on the phones here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Taylor. Taylor, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Gerald.
Hey, Taylor.
You were previously talking about Peyton Manning should have deserved league MVP last year when he didn't play. I was just going to mention that the Bucs were 4-2 with you and then went 0-10 without you. So I think you should have deserved league MVP last year, and I should have taken that.
How about that? All right, Taylor. He's giving you some props there.
Thanks, Taylor. It's real flattering, but I think there's a guy up top who has something to do with that. But I really appreciate that. That's pretty cool.
All right. How about
that? That's cool. Thanks, Taylor.
Okay. And you want to know who's out there and where? Here's John in Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Who's listening in tonight
hey,
on the
John.
Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan of watching the defensive line play, and that's one reason why I love going to games, because you can see those individual matchups. You just can't get on TV. You don't see it. So I had a question for you, Gerald. From the time you came into the league until now, from a tactical standpoint, what have you improved on your skill set? Like, what is it that you've worked on? Is it hands? Like, what is it technically that you've improved on in that time?
That's a good question. Thanks for the question, John. It's definitely there's a lot of different things you can work on as a defensive lineman, as far as your stance at start. People think when you come out of college, you're just supposed to know how to get in the right stance and, get off the ball the right way. There's actually different ways depending on whatever defense you're in, because you have stunts, you have a lot of different things to do. My stance to start is just that's not really anything I had to work on. But as far as my pre-snap reads, being able to read the offensive lineman, reading formations, and then as the play progresses, having my hands in the right place, eyes in the right place, and just executing my technique. As far as pass rush goes, it's timing, finding what your actual, go-to is. Everybody needs a go-to and a counter. Actually finding what my go-to and my counter was and then just trying to perfect it. And I'm still working on it. It's been working for me this year. But I'm steady trying to get better at it.
Elaborate on what you mean by go-to and counter, because fans may be hearing that, they don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, your go-to pass rush move. Whenever you know you need to get a win on this play, you go to this move, and then, you know, your best counter move off that move. And once you start working on that, when I say you perfect it, you work on your timing and being able to, regardless of how this offensive lineman sets, use it to your advantage. And, you know, forcing the offensive lineman to block how you want him to block and you not changing what you do. So
in other words, if I can boil it down, you put your best move on him, mm-hmm. and in the event that he is slowing down or stopping your best move, you have a counter move
that
you're about to use on him, and mm-hmm. that's being worked on.
Definitely.
You know, a lot of people, there's subtleties about the game where you line up over the guard or line up over the center or line up, you know, even on an end if it were to be.
I lined up over the center, the guard, and the tackle.
Sunday. What are the differences there with that? Because it's not as simple as fans would think.
And it depends on the call and my assignment, my stance, and what I have to execute. Sometimes I have to pass rush. Sometimes I have to be a decoy. Sometimes I have to, you know, penetrate. There's a lot of different things you have to do in different alignments in this defense. But yeah, it's not as simple as people may think it is.
Again, we will take your questions on the phones, also on Twitter at Buck Sideline Guy. Tweet me a question or a comment. Scott wants to know, do you think you're getting double teamed a lot at this point in the season? Do you think that Michael Bennett and Bowers on the ends are getting double teamed a lot? Again, he's curious about double teams. Mm-hmm. Is it about the same? Are you getting double teamed about the same as the year goes on?
Me in particular, or all of us.
How about both?
Yeah, I think my double teams have went up actually. It's a respect thing. And you look at it as a compliment. Teams have to account for you. But that's why your coaches help you come up with game plans to work around that. But, yeah, especially this past week, man, it's not necessarily always a double team for ends, but a running back can chip block. And a chip block is basically when before the running back goes out for his route, he kind of just like – comes down and nudges the end inside to help the tackle, and that can be considered a double team. But it's just a chip block. But I'm saying just a chip block, but it hurts because they get in your rib cage and it, you know, it doesn't feel good. But yeah, the double teams, they're coming. They definitely are. And you know, there was a point in the season where I seen that they were about to start, but now they've just steadily increased. But, hey, that's this game. Still love it.
And as you have said, and others have talked about this too, if they're double-teaming you and or double-teaming Roy, mm-hmm. you cannot double-team everybody, with five linemen and even five linemen and a tight end. There's going to be single teams now.
Yeah, definitely. Unless they max protect, then everybody gets a double-team, which is rare to see, but it happens.
All right, back to the phones here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Dwayne is in Sarasota. Hey there, Dwayne.
Hey, Gerald. How you doing? Listen, just a comment and then a quick question. You can comment on both of them if you'd like. It just seemed like in the Atlanta game that you guys were running a lot of cover two. I don't blame you. I would too. But also that Ryan was doing a lot of just 3-5-step drops, and was that making it a lot harder to get your hands around his neck? And also, this coming game against Denver, I watched him play earlier in the year against Atlanta, and fortunately, Atlanta got him when, or unfortunately, Atlanta got him when Peyton was only his second game. But they did seem to confuse them. And I'm not going to ask you to give away your defensive game plan, but it seemed like Atlanta's confused them as much as anybody has by just sort of like milling around on the defensive side of the ball, just kind of milling around and waiting until the last second to get into their sets. And have you guys given any consideration to doing the same? and I did say consideration.
All right. He qualified all of it.
Oh, yeah. To answer your question, it's very difficult to get to a quarterback when he's doing a lot of quick passes, which Matt Ryan was. I mean, he was, as soon as he was getting the ball, he was looking and getting the ball out. He was throwing a lot of checkdowns and doing a lot of things of that sort. So that does make it difficult to get to a quarterback. But as a defensive lineman, you don't always have to hit a quarterback or sack a quarterback to disrupt him. Getting your hands up, trying to bat down the passes, which I try and do a lot, it can be very disruptive to a quarterback. So in those situations, that's what we have to do. As far as what Atlanta did, yeah, he did look confused. I was seeing that too, but our game plan is what it is, and I believe that our coaches have put together a great one. But it's going to be on us to lock in and focus, and own that game plan, and go out on Sunday and execute it the best we can.
On the point about trying to get a hand on a pass, and you're going to shake your head, you're going to nod, you're going to roll your eyes probably at me when I bring this up. Late in the game, on the critical third down play to Roddy White, 93, you had your hand up. I think he got that ball over your head and between your hands somehow before you got a fingertip on it.
I went to jump. Late in the game. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I am shaking my head. Yep. I knew it was going to be a quick pass. I mean, it was third and short. I knew it was going to be a quick pass. Ball was coming out quick. I knew the slide was coming to me. I knew there was no way I could step and come underneath real quick and try and get my hands up. So what I tried to do is run, bull rush the guard, get him off me, and then jump. Well, yep. When the double team came, the center grabbed my left hand. And all I could get up was my right hand, and the ball went right to where my left hand would have been. And, I mean, that's a good job on the center's part. But when I jumped and he grabbed my other hand and I seen where the ball went, I was thinking, like, if I could have got that other hand up, I could have batted that ball.
Sure.
But, hey.
Game of inches, right?
A game of inches. Anyway.
I told you. Yep. I told you you'd be shaking your head on that. But it is. I mean, sometimes you're right there and can make the play, and sometimes it's a game of inches and the play still gets made.
Yep.
Fractions, right?
Yeah.
Of plays like that. All right. Again, you can join us on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We have got more with Gerald McCoy. We might talk about Powerball when we get back here, because everybody's buzzing about Powerball here tonight.
Yes.
We might talk about that, too, when we go along. And we will talk more about the Broncos and the matchup in Denver coming up. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
And we are back here with number 93 here on this Wednesday night as the Bucs get set to take on the Denver Broncos. Again, you can join us on the phones. You can also tweet me a question at Bucs Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucs Sideline Guy, for your Twitter questions and comments if you can't wait on hold or you don't want to call in but you want to get a question here to Gerald tonight. Before we get back to the phones and what some people want to say, there is a lot of hysteria, let's say, around the country because, and I believe this is correct, that all 50 states now have the Powerball lottery, including Florida. So all over the country, there are millions of people holding tickets tonight for the drawing, Gerald, which at last check is over $550 million. Let me say that again, $550 million for the Powerball lottery drawing tonight. You're a first round pick in the NFL draft and have money, but have you ever played the lottery? And what do you think about a $550 million payout that somebody may walk away with tonight? What about that?
No, I've never played the lottery. I actually will never play the lottery. I actually don't believe in playing the lottery.
All right.
As much as people say, oh, it's easy to say you have. Yeah, I don't believe in it, but Yeah, 500. What'd you say? 556?
550 plus.
550 million.
I think they draw like 11 tonight, so it's going to keep going up.
And you got it. Somebody's going to win, and you got to give, what, $200 million of it to your state or something like that?
Yeah, to the government.
So you basically get $350 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You could buy an NBA franchise, maybe.
If you want to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You could buy a lot of things.
Anyway.
Start thinking about that kind of money. Well, I believe, if I saw this correctly, I believe that the payout was somewhere only around like $400 million over the weekend, and no one won. So now it's gone up another $150 million for tonight.
What is it? It goes up the more people buy tickets?
That's correct. And if nobody wins tonight.
Over the weekend?
Yes.
And now
yes.
on Wednesday,
yes.
it's went up $150
yes.
million?
Yes.
You mean to tell me
There's
you guys are out there buying that many
yes.
tickets?
Yes.
You guys are buying $150 million worth of tickets in a weekend? Woo! Y'all just giving whoever's going to win it y'all money.
This is true. Somebody's going to walk away with it, though, at some point. If not tonight, then by this weekend, you would think. Somebody's got the numbers. So
that money could be going to some type of charity or something. Golly, $150 million worth of tickets.
Well, like you said, Uncle Sam is getting a lot of it, too. So
Oof.
Pretty amazing.
That's a lot of bread.
Yeah.
Man,
You're thinking about owning an NBA team. I just put that in your head, and you're thinking about that. I can tell.
No.
You could become like part owner, if not full owner, of an NBA franchise for $350, probably.
Could put my whole family through college.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, the whole family.
You could put
not just my immediate or, you know, my new family with my future wife and my kids. I'm talking about, like, my family. Like, all of y'all, just pick a school and go.
And their friends, if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, you bring two friends.
And you can go, too.
My family plus one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Gerald may be going out to buy a ticket now.
No.
I'm going to say it again, $350 million.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's
a lot of money.
Not me.
All right. Back to the phones. Tom has waited patiently. He's in St. Augustine over on the First Coast, as it's called, up by Jacksonville. You're here with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Tom.
DJ Gerald, thanks for taking my call again.
No problem, Tom.
Hey guys. Hey, Gerald, you know, I played the Powerball, and if I win, the first thing I get, it would be a real McCoy jersey for that guy you have on your Twitter page. Where in the heck did you get that picture, man?
What picture?
The picture on your Twitter.
Yeah, your Twitter page. You took a picture of a guy. It was a former McCoy jersey.
Yeah, you talking about the guy
it
who
was
taped.
The funniest thing.
He taped the uniform together or
for
something?
For everybody – okay, Tom,
yes, sir.
Say what you have to say, and I'm explaining what he's talking about, because I want to ask you a question.
No, you know, that's the funniest thing, because it's a former McCardle jersey,
right?
And he kept the MC on there and put the McCoy at the end and changed the number, put duct tape on it, and I guess colored the rest in with a Sharpie. And I just thought that was the funniest thing, and the first thing that came to my mind is, what, did he take this picture, or did that get sent in to him? And, Gerald, man, I love your game, and I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks, TJ. Thanks, Gerald. Take care. Good luck this Sunday.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, what happened is a picture was sent to me of a guy, you know, just showing, you know, how much our fans love us. A guy took a Booger McFarland jersey is what it was. And the MC at the beginning, he duct taped over the rest of the last name and drew the COY of the McCoy.
Okay.
The last COY.
And Booger used to wear 92.
Booger used to wear 92. Then he duct taped over the 2 and drew a 3.
That is dedication. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it was, you know, it was no disrespect to Booger, but, you know, he just.
He modified his Booger jersey into a McCoy.
He didn't duct tape the numbers at the top, so the 92 still showing, but the back with it was funny. It was funny.
Well, and a lot of Buck fans go and get their jerseys for their favorite player, and time marches on, and so you've got a jersey for a player that doesn't play anymore or is retired or whatever the case. But this
right.
guy decided to be creative.
Yeah, I mean, he just and regardless of who he can be, anybody, he can be anybody. He can be.
With
Booger.
His duct tape, you mean?
He can be Booger.
They would have to start with McCoy.
They
would have to start with a nine, though, right? Or did he? I guess he could duct tape both numbers.
Yeah.
And the name.
I mean, but I'm pretty sure he got the McFarlane jersey because that's who he wanted. Then he got his McCoy jersey, you know. But he could be whoever on any given game day. He could be whoever. So that guy, I mean, he's creative.
Well, but we would encourage the fans, too. I mean, with Black Friday, with Cyber Monday, with Buccaneers.com and the fan shop, you can get a McCoy jersey pretty readily.
Or a Bucs jersey in general.
A Bucs jersey of
any
kind.
Or a Bucs item.
Yes.
You know, anything, a flag.
Something new.
Whatever. A sticker.
They make great gifts, too.
Or you can just go get Bucs flag tatted on your back.
Have you got one of those?
If you're really a fan, you'll go get a Bucs flag tatted on your back.
Yeah, you
might. You know, hey. Or perhaps a ticket.
Yes. And to that end, by the way, and we're kind of joking around, to that end, there were a lot of Buck fans that went and bought a lot of tickets for the game.
No doubt.
So, I mean, what was that atmosphere like? Because it was rocking.
Yeah. Hey, that game Sunday was – that was legit. Our fans were in there. And I mean, there was one point where I almost messed up a call because I couldn't hear. And they was like, what was it when we got to the sign? I said, I don't know. I couldn't hear anything. And I started thinking, that's actually good.
Good problem.
That's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, our fans, they were rocking, man. And you know what I love about our fans, man? That game went down to the wire. And when the game was over, the fans cheered us on like we won. I mean, you can't ask for a better atmosphere than that. Nobody booed. Nobody said anything bad about us. I mean, they just cheered and cheered and cheered and cheered, even when the game was over. And, you know, y'all get them next time. It was a great, you know, just I love our fans. Our fans are great.
Well, and again, we're now going into a situation in Denver where it's usually loud. This is a different stadium now from what was the old Mile High Stadium. They have built a new one 10 years ago, torn down Mile High. But this place also, Gerald, incredibly loud. And it's going to be more so for the Buccaneer offense when they're out there. But, I mean, the importance of having that crowd behind you when you're on defense, you can speak to that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, this is the new stadium, huh?
Correct.
So this isn't where John Elway played.
Correct. It used to be next door. They've torn it completely down. Yeah,
darn.
It used to be there. Kind of like the old Tampa Stadium used to be briefly next to Raymond James.
Peyton Manning played in there.
Yes.
So that's cool. It's always good. I have fun going to different stadiums, you know, and playing places where – a lot of legends played. I mean, a lot of people have new, you know, new stadiums. Like ours, is it that old, right?
Right at 15 years old, right?
The stadium we play in now?
This is the 15th year of the stadium, correct?
Yeah, see, it's not that old. So,
but like we went to Oakland, to your point. That's a place where Kenny Stabler played.
Yeah.
That's a place Cliff Branch lit the flame, the Al Davis flame that day for the game. That's the stadium where he played. It's the same stadium.
The 49ers stadium is the same, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah,
Montana,
I played there
twice.
So, you know, it's just fun to go play a lot of these different places. I didn't get a chance to go to Green Bay because of my injury, but, you know, hey, Lambeau, can't beat it.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's where all the legends have played. All right, back to the phones. John is in Inglewood, Florida. You're here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, John.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call, Gerald.
No problem, John.
I really dig the way the team's playing this year. You guys seem to just look meaner. I don't know what it is, but my question is, I don't know how much high altitude you played in, but how much does that affect you? And I'll just hang up and listen. Keep up the good work.
All right.
I actually played when I was at Oklahoma, we played Colorado. And it actually – I mean, it takes a little bit depending on, you know, the person. It may take a day or two for it to catch up to you. But my first time being up there and playing the game, you know, it was – when I got off the bus, I was struggling, you know. So this definitely, out of all the games we've played up to this point, our rotation has to be key. You can't try and be Superman this game. You know, guys trying, oh, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to stay in. Not this game. If you're tired, come out. Because we needed guys to be at our best, especially with the team we're facing and this guy we're facing. And I'm just speaking for the defense. With this guy we're facing in Peyton Manning, rotation to be key. And guys have to, you know, just admit when you're tired and come out. And because it's going to go to the wire, and it's going to be a grind all the way from the beginning to the end. So we're going to need everybody.
I know that players, athletes, playing at altitude talk about this all the time, whether you're talking about football or basketball, that you come to the sideline, you come out of the game, and it's a lot. It's hard to catch your breath because of the thinner air, that you will have to have oxygen or whatever the case is. And you'll see a lot of times players with the oxygen tanks and getting some oxygen, and you know, people are wondering why that is. Well, it's tougher to be able to get a good deep breath and get the oxygen flowing into your system. That's one of the challenges of playing at the altitude. So is that more of a mental thing, though, too? I mean, some of it is physical, but is part of it a mental thing, too, on being able to get your breath in the altitude?
Yeah. I mean, if you go in there expected to not be able to breathe, you might not be able to breathe. You know, if you go in there, you know, expecting to feel like you drowning, you know, you might go in there like, I can't, you know. But if you go in there with the right mindset and have the mindset of, I don't care what the altitude is like, you know, that's not going to play a factor in, you know, whether I execute my assignment to the best of my abilities or whether I read my keys or put my hands in the right place and my eyes, then you know, it won't matter. But guys who actually focus on that, which we're not, guys who actually focus on that, I think that's when it becomes an issue.
That's the voice of Gerald McCoy, who's with us here on Wednesday nights. Love his insight. Love what he brings. By the way, a couple of people have tweeted in here. One tweets in and says, the Powerball payout for Florida is $270 million after taxes at the moment. Some states do not have the tax, like California. Only 270 there on that. So yeah, people are it's hysteria right now with playing the Powerball tonight for the drawing. So free plug.
It's only 270 million.
Yeah, only.
Okay.
Only for that. We will have another segment here to talk some about the Broncos. Take a couple more phone calls on a Wednesday night. Stay with us. It's Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
I mean, he can gas you. And, you know, people know Peyton Manning wants to throw the ball. He wants to pass. However, he's so good, he will, you know, make everybody think that, and then he'll switch it up and they call a run play. I mean, this guy literally calls the game himself at the line. It's ridiculous what he does. And it's been amazing to watch the past however many years he's been doing it, but now it must stop.
Come Sunday. I like that. All right, Rico is in Tampa as we go back to the phones here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Rico.
Hey, what's up, TJ? What's up, Gerald? How you doing, man?
What's up, Rico?
Hey, I don't know if you remember me. I met you last Friday night at the bowling alley. I'm not going to say which one, but I seen you get your little Fred Flintstone on. I'm going to shake your hand. I appreciate you, man.
Oh, yeah, you met me at the front. Yeah, I was there with my family.
That's good, man. I know it's good quality time to spend with your family, and I appreciate you being humble, man, shaking my hand. I just want to wish you good luck for the rest of the season, and, you know, keep your head up, man. You know, and God is with you, man. All right?
I appreciate that, brother. Really do.
All right. Take care.
So this leads the logical question. How good a bowler are you? He said he met you bowling.
I'm actually not bad, man. When everybody says that. But I really, like, I was in the bowling league in high school.
Okay.
As bad as that sounds.
Did you have uniforms?
This massive football player in a bowling league.
You had the shirts, though? The team had the shirts?
Yes, I was actually on the team, and I bowled. And I was, yeah.
What's the key?
We had shirts.
What's the key, Gerald, to throwing a strike? The Gerald McCoy key to throwing a strike? Follow through? Aim?
A lot of people, you know, look down at the pins. I don't look at the pins. I look there, you know, the little arrows. There's a spot you have to hit on the arrows. See, I don't spin the ball. A lot of people spin the ball. You see the professional, they spin. I don't spin. And a lot of people try and throw it right down the middle. That's where you make your mistake. When you hit it right down the middle, that's how you split them.
Right.
And, you know, there's a spot. You can hit it on either the left or the right. I usually aim at the right of the middle pin and the first pin to the right, which would be two. I think it is. I'm not sure. But that's, if you hit it with the right velocity or speed, it could split and it'll take them all out. But it's that.
That's known as the pocket, I guess, yes, right? Right in there. Not that I know a ton about it.
It's that arrow, you know, right in the middle, and the arrow to the right is where I try and, that's the spot I try and hit.
Now, this is the key question on how serious you are. Do you own your own bowling ball?
Yeah. So I don't have it here, but I have one in Oklahoma.
Whenever somebody shows up with their own ball, I always know at a bowling alley they're serious. They got their own ball.
I ain't doing that, but I do have – I had one when I was in the league in high school. I did.
Did you ever watch Kingpin, by the way, speaking of movies?
Yes.
Bill Murray with the rose ball at the end.
Bill Murray, the funniest part is Bill Murray's hair
with the comb over. Movie.
I mean, he had the comb over, but the hair was like, it was like when he get riled up, the hair was all over the place. It was, that's the funny
and
movie.
And then the ball with the rose is just it's too good.
Funny movie.
All right. So who knew about the bowling? So thank you, Rico, for getting us.
Rico was there with his people, too. They looked like they was having a good time.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of fun. So, wait a minute. Did you win, or did you allow others to win?
No, I won.
You had to go ahead and get the victory.
I won.
Okay. Just checking.
I mean, see, I could have just let it stop there, but I'm not going to. I will tell you that I was playing against my kids.
Okay.
So I had no choice but to win. But I won.
Now,
that's
they
all that matters.
But they are probably competitive, just like you. Did they have the bumpers up and the whole thing? And you're
my daughter had the bumpers at first, but she didn't. You know, after a while, she started bowling it straight. Surprisingly, my son he was getting so upset. You know, he was getting so upset. He came to me. He was like, Nevaeh gets to have the bumpers. Can I have the bumpers too? And we were there for his birthday because he was turning 11. So I'm thinking, you got your six-year-old little sister that has bumpers and you about to turn 11. You want me to treat you like an 11-year-old and you want bumpers? No. Bowl. And he started, you know, he started tough love.
A little tough.
He started picking it up.
We got to learn how to bowl without the bumpers.
Right.
I like that. All right, we have a remaining two or three moments left here. The importance, they're all important. I understand this. But now we get to late November and December. They take on even more significance. Just talk about, there are only five games left here in the season, trying to get where you want to go, that P word. So this becomes an enormous game for all those reasons that I'm mentioning, right?
P word.
The P word.
Don't do it? Okay. Yeah. We just got to focus, man. It's this point in the season where the teams who start to emerge, the teams who start to make that run, are the teams who learn how to practice right, the teams who take care of their bodies, and the teams who, you know, learn how to fight through that. There's always that little feeling like, oh, I have pain here or I have an issue there or whatever. It's like teams have to push through that. And those teams are the ones who emerge, and that's what we're working on. And the teams who come together at this time are the teams who start to make that run.
This team has won three games in a row on the road. And has basically won those games by winning in the fourth quarter. Not saying that ultimately translates into victory Sunday, but that's got to give you some confidence here. 30-second answer. That's got to give you some confidence going to Denver that you guys have done this three times in a row.
Definitely. We just got to keep it rolling. We can't look in the past. We can only look forward. Got a lot of work to do this week, and looking forward to it.
Gerald McCoy, thank you. Good luck against the Broncos. We appreciate it tonight.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night, Tampa.
There you go. There's number 93. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping us out. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place as well. We will be on the air Sunday, 3 o'clock with a pregame. 4 o'clock is kick time for Buccaneers and the Denver Broncos. And we're back next week with another edition of Total Access here with Gerald McCoy on the Buccaneers Radio Network.